Well, good morning. It is so wonderful to be here this morning. Thank you so much. Woo! Thank you so much for being with us this morning. If you are visiting with us, I'm going to try and be at that Welcome Center after worship hour. Please come by and say hello. I'd love to get to meet you, and I know other people would love to as well. I am so very thankful that there are men in this congregation that love to lead and love to sing and love to preach. I hope you are all blessed this week being more persistent in our prayer life. Getting to listen to Cliff's lesson last week was really convicting, and I truly tried to heed that message and be more thoughtful and be more persistent in my prayers. Because I was very persistent to my family as I was trying to make sure I got this toy or that toy. So I wanted to make sure I was more persistent in my prayer life to God. And I'm very thankful that if I'm unable to speak, we have men like Travis or Cliff or one of our elders or any other men that are able to do that. We have a lot of talented people here, and I am so very, very thankful for that. Now, we are starting a new series this week called Back to the Basics. If you looked at the contact this week, I've put a title for the next 6 weeks on what lessons I'm going to be preaching. Basic lessons on helping us understand. This also gives you a feel for things that I understand, and I'm very glad to be able to do this lesson. Now, again, I want to take a moment to say thank you so much to our veterans for your service, for the freedoms that you have protected for us in this country. And I want to encourage all of us, we do have these freedoms. What are we going to do with those freedoms? Yes, we get to vote. What a great freedom. But we are also in a country where we can freely tell people about Jesus. So let's use those opportunities that we have to make sure we are expressing our Savior to people in our lives. Now, why did I choose this particular series? Well, I was a coach for a while, and I played football for maybe too many years in my life. But in football, every year, no matter how old I got, every season we ever started, we had to learn how to get into a stance. Now, that would seem ridiculous. I played football for about 14 years of my life. I knew how to get into a particular stance, and I played on the offensive line my entire life. You can probably tell why. I was not built to be a receiver. I was not built to be a quarterback. I was not particularly blessed with speed, I guess you could say. I knew how to get into a stance, but every year our coaches made sure that we knew how to do the fundamentals right. Because if you knew how to get into a proper stance, you can then take the proper steps, you can then make the proper blocks, you can then make the play happen the way the play was supposed to happen. That's why fundamentals are so important. That's why every year, every practice, we would spend 30 to 45 minutes just on fundamentals. Well, it's important for us too in the church. When you think about how a house is built, right? If this was your house, would you start freaking out? Probably, right? If you had a massive crack going through, not one of those little hairline ones that may have just happened because of the way the cement was put down, but one that looked like, oh, this thing's moving, right? That's scary, right? You don't want to see that in your foundations. We don't want to see that in our foundations in the church either. We have to make sure our foundation is solid because we plan on building a large structure, right? Notice what's said here. The structure will only be as strong as the foundation. If we don't have a strong foundation in the Lord's body here, we won't be able to grow to the church we want to be, to the church that God wants us to be. So that's why over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be focusing on this idea of basic teachings, fundamental teachings that we find in the New Testament about the church and what all the church is about. And so that's why this week we're starting with defining what is the church, right? What is this particular church? We're going to be looking through the New Testament. If you are already open to Matthew 16, stay there. That's where we're going to start. And we're going to be focusing on how we can define the church by the passages in the New Testament. So, number one, like what was just read for us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, this is not an in-context lesson, so you'll just have to take my word for it. What Jesus is saying here is upon this foundational statement that Peter said when he answered Jesus' question early on. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." So that's when Jesus says, okay, upon that statement, Peter, upon this foundational theology, upon this foundational teaching, that's what we're building this church upon, that I am the Son of God. Right? And so that's what we're building this church upon. Also notice, whose church is this? It's not Matt's church. It's not the elders' church. It is Christ's church because it's being built on the foundational statement that he is the Son of God. And that's very important for us to know. It wasn't built on a man, right? It wasn't built on Peter. It was built on Christ being the Son of God and our Savior. So what is church? What does that word mean, right? This is the Greek word, ekklesia, and it's the whole point. You'll see where church is, and whenever you see it translated in the New Testament, this is the word that's behind it, ekklesia. So what does that word mean? It's used 114 times, so it'd be good for us to know what exactly this word, the definition is of this word. All right, let's break it down. It's actually a compound word. The prefix is ek, and the actual word, the main part of the word, is the word kaleo, which means to call, right? To herald something. Now, notice that word ek means out of. Now, when you put them together, it means the called out or to call out someone, right? That's what the word means. That's what church means, the called out. So we are the called out, right? Now, notice what the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says and how they help us understand this word a little bit more fully. They say the citizens are the ekklesioi, i.e. those who are summoned and called together by the herald. This teaches us something concerning the biblical and Christian usage, namely, that God in Christ calls men out of the world. That's what the church is. We have been called out of the world through Christ by God. That's who we are. And that's what the church should be. Now, I'm going to go through some verses and passages to help us understand more fully about who these called out people really are. Who are these people that make up the church? Who are those who have been called? Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is a great passage in itself, but notice this one particular verse. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. We've been chosen. We are priests that make up a priesthood. We are a holy nation, right? And the emphasis is really on the type of nation. We are holy, and we are someone who is God's own possession. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You see, God called Christians to be his for a purpose, and that purpose is so that he could be out of sin, so that we could be out of sin and brought into life. That's why God has called us. That's why God has chosen this plan to send his son to be that ultimate sacrifice for us, so that we could be out of this darkness and into light. Ephesians 5, verse 23, a great verse to always have in your memory bank. I know this is in the immediate context of talking about wives and husbands, but notice what Paul does here and gives this teaching aside from the marital relationship. He says, Christ also is the head of the church. Well, we learn that from Matthew 16, too, right? He himself being the Savior of the body. He uses some synonymous parallelism here and letting us know that Christ is the head. Being the head means he's the Savior, and the church is also known as his body. Christ is going to save his body. He will give life to those who have been called out of the world and become a part of his body. The emphasis there is on whose body it is, and it's Christ's body. It's not a man's body that they came up with. It's not some group's body. It's not my own selfish body. It is Christ's body. And that's the body we're looking for. That's the body we want to be a part of. And that's the body that will be saved by Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, notice as Paul is starting off this letter to the church at Corinth, notice what he says here. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, those are the same word, sanctified and saints. Now, one is a noun, one is a verb, right? Those who are sanctified literally means those who have been set apart. Well, what have we learned so far? What have we been set apart from as Christians? Set apart from the world, called out of the world. We've been called to be these holy ones. Not only have we been called out, but we need to make sure that we are living like we are called out. We are living as though we've been set apart from this world. He says, you've been called to be saints together with all of those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. If there is someone who has obeyed the gospel call, we are with them in the Lord's church. It doesn't matter where they live. They could live in Africa. They could live in Europe. They could live in Australia. If they have been called out of this world by answering that gospel call of God, we are members of the same body that Christ is going to save. The church of God is those who are set apart and called to be saints. Next, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, notice what is said here as John is getting closer to ending this revelation. He says, these will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and the chosen and the faithful. We learn a little bit something extra here about those who are in the church. We've learned that they have been called, right? God calls us. We learn that we are part of this chosen plan by God who sent his son to be that sacrifice for us. But there's something new there. It's those who are faithful, right? Those who are conquering this world by the power of Christ. If you look through the whole context of Revelation, that is a very important word. Sometimes you'll see overcome or conquer, right? That's those who are being faithful. That's those who are overcoming, in particular, the Revelation time, the Roman government. They're not succumbing to the emperor. They're not succumbing to all these desires that the city of Rome is offering. They are ones that are staying faithful to the Lord. Those who are with him, Christians, are called chosen and faithful. That's the church. The church is those who have answered this gospel call, who are a part of this chosen race, that are also the ones that are living faithfully, staying faithful to God. Now, let's make some observations from those verses that we've just read. Now, we noticed at the very beginning that the church belongs to God, right? We would all agree with that. This church is God's church, Christ's church. The church should be different than the world. Just by definition, it should be different, right? If we are called out of the world, why should we look like the world? We shouldn't. We should be different from the world. The church is the body of Christ. The church is saved by Christ. He is going to save his body. And the church is made up of the sanctified. those who have been set apart from the world, those who are different, those who have answered this gospel call to accept Jesus through obeying the gospel, right? Those are the ones that make up this body that Christ is going to save. Number six, the church is made up of people who are called. And the church is made up of those who are chosen. Now, I want us to apply this message, and we're going to do it simply in applying this. Let's just put we with all of that. We belong to God. Isn't that a great statement to know? I belong to God. If you have answered this gospel call, you belong to God. You're God's. Isn't that a cool thing to think about? You are God's own inheritance, Ephesians will tell us. We should be different than the world. Maybe we should spend a lot more time on number two. Shouldn't we be different from the world? If God has called us to be different and we belong to Him, should we look like, smell like, whatever like the world? No. We should be different. We should make ourselves distinct from the world because that's what God has called us to be. We are the body of Christ. With God, or with Christ being the head of that body, who do we look to help us understand how to structure the body, how to worship in the body, how to live as though we are in the body? To the guy who's the head of the body, Christ. Y'all shouldn't rely on me to tell you how to live because Christ has already told us. We shouldn't rely on the elders to tell us how to worship because Christ has already told us. He is the head, and we are his body. Let him direct us in how he wants us to be the body. We are saved by Christ. Because we are a part of that body, Christ is going to save us. We are the sanctified. Each individual here are those who have been set apart from the world, so live like it. We are those who have been called. God has called us through his gospel message, and we are those who are chosen. God sent that chosen plan for us to be able to have this call, this gospel message brought to us so that we could be saved. Now, the church, whether local or as a whole, should be totally different looking than the world around her because Christ is her head and not man. How do we make this happen? Here's some practical tips for us, how we can make sure we are being the body that Christ wants us to be. Number one, we need to follow God's word, not world's opinion, right? Sometimes the world will try to say, hey, if you did this in that particular church, y'all would grow exponentially. We probably would, to be honest. We could probably fill up this entire building if we changed up a few things. But whose opinions would that be? My own. Am I going to save anybody in here? Absolutely not. So if I was to come in here and bring up my own opinions on how I think we should grow, and maybe I make up a few things and I don't really look towards the New Testament or the whole Bible and I say, hey, let's do this, let's try this, let's figure something out, let's change up a few things, we're now following Matt. And I don't read in the New Testament. I do see my name. He's a gospel writer, right? But I don't read anywhere where I have the authority to change those things because I'm not the savior of the body. Christ is. And so we need to follow his word. To follow his word, what does that mean? I need to be in his word, right? I don't know about you, but I have never been able to build something without the instruction manual. You may have. It may not have been totally right. I'm not going to judge your work, but God gave us a wonderful instruction manual on how to live as Christians, on how to be married as Christians, on how to serve him the way he wants to be served. So let's use that manual. Let's not use the world's manual. Next, let's live as though we have been set apart from the world. Let's live as saints, right? Let's live as those who have been sanctified. That means the world may be doing something, but I don't follow the world. If Christ and God has told me to live this way, and the world says, hey, no, actually it'd be way cooler for you to live this way, whose way do I live? I live as though God has called me to be set apart from this world each and every day, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, right? I know there are a lot of people in the world who say, I don't need to go to church on Sunday. I don't need to be going to Bible class on Wednesday. Should we? Does God want us to? Does God want us to be here to worship Him? Absolutely. So let's do what God wants us to do. Let's live differently. Let's be different people. I usually tell people this, just be weird, right? It's not fun being weird, but God wants us to be weird. God wants us to look different from the world. Next, be a unified body, not a dismembered corpse. I was going to go to some verses that talk about maybe the church at Laodicea in Revelation, where you find this church that was lukewarm. Why were they lukewarm? They weren't a unified body, right? They were a church that was dying because they were okay with just being okay. We don't need to do that. We need to be together. We need to work together to help be a unified body, or else we'll die. Or else we'll become a dismembered corpse. That means we're all on the same page as far as understanding God's word. We're all on the same page on how we should live and do and how we should help grow this body. Next, we need to live faithfully. This will be our last point. That seems kind of self-explanatory, but I'll explain a little bit. We need to be people who are full of faith and living faithfully. We need to trust God when He tells us to live this way, that He will take care of us. Because there are some times where we get a little bit scared. I don't know if I want to live that way. I don't know if I want to actually have to tell my boss that. I don't want to know if I have to actually do this or go against that. If God has told us, we should trust Him that He will take care of us. Live as faithful Christians. Live as those who have been sanctified. Maybe you're here this morning and you find yourself in need. Whatever that need may be, we would love to pray with you. I know people had prayers said for them last week, and that's wonderful, and that shows a congregation that loves each other. Maybe you're here this morning and you want that opportunity as well. We'd love to pray with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have not answered that gospel call. You have not become a child of God. We see throughout the New Testament, there are conditions that we meet to help us answer this gospel. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. That foundational statement, I believe that wholeheartedly, right? And because of that, I repent. I stop living like the world and I start living like God. I want to start looking to His words. I want to change who I used to be and help become who He wants me to be. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Sometimes if you've ever seen a baptism, we ask for that confession right before that person is baptized. That's great, but I don't stop confessing Jesus as my Lord when I come up out of the waters of baptism. Every day I make that confession. Who's going to be king over my life today? And every day I should say, Jesus, my Lord. Then we do have baptism. Baptism is the time in which we're able to wash away those sins that we have committed that have separated us from God. We remove the filth from our soul, I guess you could say. We go into the waters, we're buried with Christ in baptism, we come out as new people, clean people, people that are connected back to God. Have you done that? Have you done that the way that God wants us done in the New Testament? Then we have that live faithfully. Live as though you have been sanctified. Live as though you have been set apart from the world because God has called us to be set apart from the world. Do you have any?